This piece was brought to you by the International Culinary Center, culinarycenter.com, heritageradionetwork.org.
Health.
As one of the most fundamental kitchen staples in both the home and restaurant, eggs take limitless forms in countless recipes. Yet other than the question of brown or white, many would agree that an egg, in its raw beginning, is always an egg. Jonathan Sawyer of Greenhouse Tavern in Cleveland, Ohio, would like to change this perception. Just as for wine grapes or coffee beans, an egg's flavor and texture are results of its context. This means that the cultivation of eggs has a lot of the same room for experimentation and inventiveness.
I love the idea that our culinary microscope is applied to these eggs, much like olive oil, much like vinegar.
Sawyer and his team at Greenhouse are interested in heightening an ingredient that has been, for the most part, trapped in perceived uniformity.
In Ohio, there's this big tradition of the blue egg. It's a really classic and famous farm from my suburb of Cleveland, Strongsville, Columbia Station. And it was a very famous farm with beautiful chickens who lived super happy, long lives. And there was a raviolo that was made that everybody sort of flocked and wanted to have. And that was, in terms of our region, the only thing that I've seen that's a celebration of one bird, one egg, one recipe. And I think that's sort of what it takes, though, to tip the iceberg.
Continuing this precedent, Sawyer has fostered his own flock of happy, well-attended-to chickens, from which he harvests his restaurant's most prized eggs.
And we name them, of course. Bunny, Bear, Squid, Acorn, Trout, and, oh my gosh, who was number six? Ginger.
And it's this intimacy that's allowed him to study the factors that affect an egg's character.
I've found that the best eggs my chickens will ever lay are like after a week of eating salmon spines or sable spines or walleye skin. The yolk of a fishy eating chicken is one of the most astounding yolks I've ever had. It doesn't hurt that it's, you know, less than seconds old and still warm when it hits the pan, but we've found that the feed is way more important than the bird. What it eats is so integral to the flavor of the eggs.
When you're working with such precious ingredients, the goal becomes effectively showcasing their richness and complexity. Recently, Matt Danko, a pastry chef at Greenhouse Tavern, has created what he is calling an Ohio egg botarga.
We know that it's not really possible to make botarga in our region, but we wanted to make something that we could kind of recreate in our own way. So we started to take these eggs and we started to cure them in salt, you know, just like a salt cured egg, which I think a lot of people probably are familiar with that deal with food on a regular basis. And then we rinse them in our house made vinegar lightly. And then we continue the curing process a little bit further through like a slow maturation / dehydration, and we hang them. And we've done it with all three different types of eggs at this point. And you know, color being obviously a big part of eggs, and when you make that decision of quality, I think a lot of people are like, oh my God, look how orange that egg is. But you could substantially understand the difference when you break something down and you take the level of moisture out of it, you can understand the richness of it on a whole another level. And for us, it's an enhancement of a product that we already know is far and beyond better than anything that we're already capable of achieving.
But what happens when eggs are needed for a dish that doesn't place them front and center?
We probably go through, God, maybe like 7 cases of eggs a week. You know, it's just a substantial amount. We're talking about over 300, 400 eggs. So, I mean, it's a lot of work to get everything in place in the restaurant.
It is for this reason that Sawyer has developed a 3-tiered egg sourcing program. At the top are those from the chef's backyard, which he carries to work on his bicycle. Next down are eggs from small-scale, hyper-local providers.
You know, great farmers that I know that can't necessarily afford $1 million insurance policy or a certification through the federal government. Those are the people that we'll support next. And then actually below that, we'll go local with the aspiration of organic or like-minded in mind. And then behind that, we'll go national organic. And then behind that, if we're forced to, we'll just go national regs.
At Greenhouse, they've extended this classifying mentality into chicken as well. Chicken, arguably more so than eggs, has lost its preciousness in the restaurant industry. And Sawyer and his team want to return it to its pre-Depression luxury status.
Now, it's the number one consumable protein in America. And that's a terrifying thing when it's treated improperly. We don't want chicken to be an add-on to our romaine Caesar salad. You know, we don't want chicken to be buffaloed and added to our pizza because we just happen to be drunk and we want that.
So this is what they did.
we said, okay, so we have this many chickens that T-Hills is going to give us, and we have this many months that we have to cover. How do we get less people to order chicken? And how do we get these chickens to be on the menu the entire way? And we were like, okay, let's make it take 55 minutes, and let's make it the most expensive item we've ever had on the menu. And so we said, we'll treat this thing beautifully. And we put it on, and the absolute opposite happened. It was literally within weeks or months, it was like, okay, well, we're out of chickens faster than we've ever been before. So now what do we do?
The good news is people seem to be responding enthusiastically to this loving treatment of chicken. Maybe the mass production of homogenous chicken isn't all the consumer's fault. Maybe it's just what industrialized livestock has conditioned us to expect.
Most people go and they order chicken in restaurants because it's easy.
Cultural diversity is serious, for sure. And I think it's easiest to explain it when it comes to more sort of cute birds. You know, if you're talking about ducks, you can look at Stone Church and you can see 7 different ducks, which none of us have ever experience in Telstone Church, you know, and same thing with squabs and, you know, those ingredients, which already have sort of centuries of luxury internationally applied to them, it's really translatable.
Ultimately, these kinds of tiered ingredient programs are an acknowledgement and celebration of the unique history contained in everything we eat. This kind of firsthand engagement with the full reality of food is what Sawyer brought to his family when he first decided to start keeping chickens.
For us, having our kids catch her in Louisiana, we've always found it really important to not trick them into eating broccoli every other Friday, but to really arm them with the tools to make the proper food decisions, whatever they feel is proper when they're old enough. And part of that is touching the food with their hands, that tactile experience of taking an egg out of the coop, you know, grabbing a piece of asparagus, picking raspberry, whatever it is, on and on. And we decided to have chickens. So we got 6 chickens about 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years ago. And for us, they were always for egg production. And it was just, you know, we sort of wanted to have more kids, but we knew we didn't really want to have more kids. So we got the next best biped, which is the chicken.
Here's hoping Sawyer's fondness for hierarchy continues to inspire conscientiousness in the food world. For Heritage Radio Network, I'm Emma Hammond.
Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported nonprofit organization broadcasting over 30 live shows a week. To learn more and donate, visit our website or connect with us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram for more. Thanks for listening.